When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code SPOTIFY to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code SPOTIFY at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code SPOTIFY.
The NFL's legal tampering period began today at noon. And what a legal tampering period it has been so far.
So legal.
The deals that are done at 12.02 p.m. Eastern. Just legal. Ignore the fact that they got done in 120 seconds, okay? Nobody was talking before noon. Sasso.
Come on, you're a lawyer. Lawyers, agents, they could put all that paperwork together in 120 seconds. Come on, what are you saying?
Absolutely. Easy peasy. Absolutely. Amber Dan, presented by Progressive Insurance. That's the voice of Jonathan Zaslow. He is filling in for Ian tonight. Find him at Zaslow Show. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. So let's bring in some help with the legal tampering period in the NFL. Herm Edwards, ESPN NFL analyst, kind enough to join us. Coach, it's good to have you back. I mean, it's the off season, buddy. You're still hanging out, though. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I know you guys miss me. It's kind of funny. You guys call it tampering. You say it got done within 2 minutes after the opening of the market. But those things were done probably a week ago. just publicly, it was announced publicly today, right? It's just amazing. You know, the players that hit free agency, a lot of these guys, this will be their last big bite of the apple for them because they're, you know, according to who they are and the positions they play. But this is, there's been some movement. There's no doubt about it. A lot of star players have moved. All of a sudden, you know, you feel a little bit better going into the draft, some of these teams, because they've already picked up some quality players.
Well, and some of those bites of the apple have been big bites, like Kirk Cousins doing it once again. Before we get into some of the bigger names, though, here with this free agency period in the NFL, I want to ask you, Herm, about our Miami Dolphins, because me and Zaza were big Dolphins fans. No team has lost more today on Monday than the Miami Dolphins. The Robert Hunts, the Christian Wilkins of the world, they get monster contracts other places. How do you feel about what's happening here with the Miami Dolphins? Or is this just kind of, it's the cost of doing business? We're a salary cap sport and you've got to figure out a way to extend Tua.
Well, yeah. But I mean, Vic Fangio, the new defensive coordinator, he's walking around the building going, hey, you're getting rid of all my guys. You know, I mean, Wilkerson, I tell you, they lost some players. Van Dingle, I mean, they've lost some players all of a sudden on defense. And you're right, they got to pay the quarterback. But at the end, you know, you don't get those guys back. I mean, you don't get the experience of the players of those caliber back. I mean, you know, you're going to draft guys, obviously, but that becomes a problem. Now, this defense was pretty good last year. They were ranked 10th. The offense was number one in the league, as we know. And I understand it's offensive driven, but still, you got to play defense. And they've lost some key components to that defense, some good players.
Coach Herm, how involved is the head coach when it comes to a day like today? I mean, obviously the general manager, he's got his capologists, and they figure out all the numbers. How involved is the head coach in these decisions?
Well, you know what the numbers are, and there's some scenarios they're creating for you. They're going to say, look, you want to keep this guy, we got to get rid of these guys, right? And so you got to make a decision because you know you can't keep them all. And that's the problem. You know, and it's a good problem for the league because what the league has really done is it's given the benefit of teams that are not so good that have the ability not only to draft players at a high spot in the draft, but also get some veteran players in free agency. That makes the league more competitive. Right, you can't keep all your players anymore. Back in my day, there was no free agency.
Yeah.
You kept your players. The only way you left is the fact that they cut you or they traded you. When your contract was done, they still owned your rights. You couldn't go anywhere. They could offer you 10% of whatever the amount of money you made your last year and say, you take it or you pound salt because you can't go anywhere. So now it's free agency. So it's made the league more competitive in this sense. You're going to lose some of your players. If you draft good and do things of that nature, that draft class eventually if you have four or five guys, you're going, we can't keep all these guys. We're going to have to get rid of them. We're going to have to get rid of two or three of them because we got to pay some other veteran guys on our team. So that's the maneuvering you have to do.
Herm Edwards joining us here on Amber and Ian with Zaz filling in for Ian. Back in my day, Coach, even when there was free agency, quarterbacks didn't used to hit that market. And now we see it again and again. And one of those guys that sort of changed the way there is Kirk Cousins. He might not be the best quarterback of all time, but I think he might be the best businessman of all time. He's got another $100 million here guaranteed on a four-year, $180 million contract with the Atlanta Falcons. What do you make of that move?
Well, I mean, Kirk Cousins is a smart businessman. Obviously, he knows he was in a situation where they were probably looking to move on from him and get a young guy there. He lands on a team now in the South that, look, you got Kirk Cousins, Raheem Morris, you know, this is his first year there. He doesn't have to worry about playing a rookie quarterback. He got a veteran quarterback. And there's some pieces in Atlanta now. I mean, all of a sudden, the South, when you think about it, Tampa Bay wins it, right? I mean, the South was one of those divisions that if you won nine games, you might could win it. And now you're looking at Atlanta. They get a veteran quarterback in Kirk Cousins. They're going to compete to win this division. They've got some pieces on this football team. The Atlanta Falcons? I mean, you kidding me? Some of those players? I mean, you know, you got Robinson, the runner. They got London. They got now Pitts. Obviously, he's going to be using this offense a little bit more as a tight end. You know, they've got some good defensive players. They got Bates last year. But this team, all of a sudden, Atlanta Falcons, look 3-3 in their division, 7-10. By them getting Kirk Cousins, if he can play the way he's playing, they went from 7-10 to 10-7 just by getting Kirk Cousins.
Coach Herm Edwards, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on Amber and Ian. I'm Jonathan Zaslow, filling in for Ian Fitzsimmons tonight, along with Amber Wilson. Herm, Russell Wilson, he chooses the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you think this is a good fit, and if so, why?
I do, because if you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is a team similar to the team he played on when he had all his successes in Seattle. They played good defense. They had a running attack. It's a play-action football team. That's what they want to do. And so that's where he's going. He's at a team that he doesn't have to lead the team. He doesn't have to be the guy. He just needs to drive the car, right? This is not a volume of a passing football team. Coach Tomlin doesn't believe in that. You know, he's going to manage the game. He wants to keep the possessions down. He's going to play good defense. Offensively, they're going to pound the ball on you. You know, that's how they're going to play. This is Russell Wilson knows how to do this. This is how he was successful in Seattle, right? It's a similar kind of team when you think about it. Similar coach, a defensive-minded coach, a defensive head coach, right, is your head coach.
I think a lot of us are going to be rooting for Russell Wilson to kind of turn things around after that.
We are. You know, we are. Now, he brought some of this on himself now. Now, absolutely. He was allowed to get away with it, too. But he brought some of that stuff on himself. But I think he's trying to resurrect his career. So he's going to a team that's, you know, I mean, think about, you know, the way Pittsburgh won this year. And that's a lot goes to their head coach. They won with miracles and still found a way to win games. And now they've got a quarterback in place with a lot of experience and has something to prove. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, with a quarterback with a career that he had in Seattle, I just hope it ends better for him than the memory that we have right now with him.
You know, Pittsburgh is funny because when you think about the Steelers, and we watch them all, here's the deal, though. This is how funny the Pittsburgh Steelers were. They were 10-7. We get it, all right? It was ugly. But in the division, without a quarterback, they were 5-1.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They had the best division record. The Ravens were 3-3 in the division. The Browns were 3-3, and the Bengals were 1-5. We understand he lost a quarterback, but the Pittsburgh Steelers were actually 5-1 in the division. Pretty good.
The quarterback that threw 6 touchdown passes.
Thank you very much.
6 touchdowns in 2023. Yeah. Crazy. Herm Edwards here joining us. Herm, finally here, Saquon Barkley. He is now a Philadelphia Eagle, a $37.75 million deal. Tiki Barber really did not like this. He tweeted out, "You're dead to us, Saquon.
That's very strong.
you're dead to me. That seems a little strong. That seems like a reaction I would have expected from a fan when you go to an enemy team. What do you make of players? I mean, do players really feel that way when you see a player who chooses to go to an enemy but also to get paid?
Well, first of all, this is on the Giants' watch. This is the Giants' fault. They decided that last year. When they decided, you know what? Hey, we're going to pay the quarterback, and we're not going to pay the runner anymore. He's 27 years old. I get it. He's been injured some. I get it. He's your best football player. At the end of the day, he's your best football player, okay? So now what you've chosen to do, you say, okay, we're going to let him hit the market, and guess what? Hey, he can wherever he lived, I don't know if he lived in New Jersey. If he did, he's halfway home either way. Now he can just drive to Philly. It's no big deal. On a pretty good football team, by the way. Now, Philly still needs some pieces, but you get this guy, and the Eagles went and got Huff, too, the defensive end that could rush the quarterback. All of a sudden, they got better in free agency. There's no doubt. But being mad at a player, I mean, come on, guys. He did everything he could for the Giants. I mean, he did everything he could, and the Giants wouldn't pay the guy. And I get it. He's a running back. He's 27 years old. But not only – forget about the running back. He's your best player. People would come to the game to watch Barkley run the ball. That's all you're going to watch on that offense, by the way.
Mm-hmm. It is true.
Well, I don't know why he's bad. I mean, come on, T.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I mean, he was easily the best part of their offense for a long, long time. Everyone, I guess, deserves to get
Giants, if you say the Giants, what do you say?
Right, Saquon
what
Barkley.
What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Saquon Barkley. Sure as heck is not Daniel Jones. That's for sure.
Oh, my word, no.
Herm Edwards, ESPN NFL analyst. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
My pleasure. Y'all be well. Thank you.
Coming up next, so you just heard it, Saquon is now on the Philadelphia Eagles. One of the Barber twins, very upset about the whole ordeal. We'll get into that next here on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I mean, I need money. I don't know about this song, but
oh, what an album, Huey Lewis! What an album.
Remember that, because Rachel Robinson has a theme tonight. She's doing a show within the show with the music coming in tonight. So we now have a segment built around it towards the end of the show here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. Zazzle is filling in for Ian tonight. So towards the end of the show, you and I will guess the theme. So remember, Huey Lewis. Yep. But Huey Lewis says you don't need money. I disagree. So does Saquon Barkley, Zazzle, because he got the money. He got the money that the New York Giants wouldn't give him. He got it from the Philadelphia Eagles instead. $37.75 million on a 3-year deal for the running back. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Now, there are people that are very upset about this because it's the Eagles. The Giants don't like the Eagles. Tiki Barber, Zaslo, he played for the New York Giants. He tweeted out, "You're dead to me." Dead to me.
Yeah.
Seems a little extreme. A little intense. Yeah. So they went back and forth on Twitter a bit. The direct quote from Tiki Barber was, "You're dead to us, Saquon. Good luck. You're dead to me." Which, I mean, it's nice that he put in the good luck, right? That's like with all due respect.
Yeah, but it was more like, I feel like that's the good luck, you know, from the movie Taken, you know?
Really?
That kind of, like, good it's luck. That kind of,
like, I have a special set of skills.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's the kind of good luck good I think luck. That Tiki's giving him there, where you're not really sincere about the good luck.
But isn't the guy that said good luck in the movie Taken the one that ends up getting killed by the...
Oh, of course, right? Liam Neeson kills him. What kind of question is that? He killed everyone in the movie.
So the guy on the losing end ends up being the one
There's no one left alive in that country. He killed everyone. It's unpopulated.
Man, he was a badass in that movie. Saquon Barkley, we're going to see if he ends up being a badass, but he was a bit of one on Twitter. He went back at Tiki, at Tiki Barber, LOL. Yep, you're the prime example of loyalty to a team. I got the deal I wanted, secured more than, which wasn't, that was secured more, which the Giants wasn't going to give me before. So if fans are going to hate me for it, so be it. But I never turned my back on my teammates and always had theirs.
Yeah, okay, so number one, Tiki, you know, wasn't at the time, and from what I understand still today, is not the most popular among, you know, former Giants players, all right? That's for one. He has a reputation. And number
he's
two...
He's there for Big Blue, man. I mean, he's out here. He's out here right now.
Yeah, no, obviously, yeah. Yeah, but I don't think he was the most popular dude, especially toward the end of his run. They won the Super Bowl right after he left. A lot of people threw that in his face, but... As far as the reaction for Saquon, and hey, I like the idea of players, like where Tiki's coming from, that he hates that he went from the Giants to the Eagles. I wish that more current players, in all of our sports, actually, hockey, they still hate each other. When you're on the team that your rival team, the hockey players still absolutely hate the guy on the other side of the ice. But otherwise, fans like when players hate their rival the way that they do, all right? So I get it coming from a fan's perspective that you're going to be angry with Saquon Barkley going from the Giants to the Eagles, but I don't in general. I don't think that this is one of those cases where you can be too mad at Saquon Barkley. How many times, Amber, does Saquon Barkley, over the last few years, need to say that he wants to stay with the New York Giants, that he wants to play for the New York Giants, that he wants to agree to a long-term contract with the New York Giants? It's not like he held up the Giants offer and then, you know, went to the highest bidder and it was the Philadelphia Eagles. He said time and time again, he wants to stay with the New York Giants. The Giants didn't want him anymore. The Giants made that very clear over the last couple of years. So you know what? The Eagles swooped in with a really good offer because A, they think Saquon Barkley is a good player, and B, because they know it's going to hurt their rival, the New York Giants. So away we go. Saquon goes to the Eagles. So yeah, the Giant fan can be sour about it, but I don't think you could be too sour about it. I don't think Saquon did anything wrong.
It's also the risk you run when you let the man walk out of the door, and that's your decision, because like you said, he has made it clear over and over again that he wanted to play for them, and he made it clear on the football field as well. I mean, we're 2 years removed from him having
a 1,650
yard season from scrimmage in 2022. I mean,
came back from big injury.
Right, in 23, still 962 rushing yards, 6 touchdowns, along with 41 receptions for 280 yards and 4 touchdowns in 14 starts last season. I mean, the man can still produce at 27 years old in 2022 with a monster season for Saquon, and they still wouldn't pay him. I mean, coming off of that monster season in 22, they franchised that man in 23. And so this has time and time and time again been a New York Giants decision. Saquon has gone out there. He has left everything on the field for that team, quite literally, which that's all you can ask. All you can ask is that he goes out there and that he does the job to the best of his ability. And he certainly has done that over and over again. And it's like when we had Coach Herm Edwards on with us a little bit earlier, if you missed anything here on Amber and Ian, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. But when we had on Coach, and he said, hey, Saquon was the reason people were even showing up and watching those games. And it's true. Like, he was the best part of that offense. He was who you think of when you think of the New York Giants. I don't think you can fault anything here that Saquon has done. And is it a bummer that he ends up on an enemy team? Fine. But also, like you said, it's part of the motivation for Philadelphia. It's probably why Philadelphia was willing to pay him more than any other team in the NFL, because frankly, they wanted to stick it to the Giants.
Yep. And you know, I don't even blame the Giants for not wanting to pay Saquon Barkley right now, because the fact of the matter is, they stunk with him the last few years, and they're going to stink without him as well. You know, if the Giants were in a situation where they were a lot closer to being a winning football team, then you pay Saquon Barkley and you keep him. But unfortunately, and especially because we know the way the market has adjusted itself over the last few years to running backs, You're not going to pay a running back when your team is going to stink with or without him. So I actually understand where the Giants are coming from. But if the Giants don't value him, what does Saquon Barkley owe the Giants then? Nothing. Like, when the Giants decide we don't want you anymore, it's supposed to be understood that he's never going to play for the Commanders or the Cowboys or the Eagles? Get out of here. What are we talking about?
Right. Like, ESPN doesn't want us anymore. We're not supposed to talk to Fox. I mean, come on. Get out of here.
You don't want me anymore. I'm going right quick. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
I want to stay here, but if you don't want me anymore, peace.
Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL's analyst, was on the Free Agency Countdown Sports Center special, and he said that this is an out-of-character move for Philadelphia, though.
This is not what they've done. This is an organization that forever has invested into the line of scrimmage, both offensive and defensive line. And it's won them Super Bowls. It's brought them to Super Bowls. And this is a position that I don't want to say that they've ignored, but certainly in free agency, they haven't invested in. And I think this is a little bit of a 180 from that, because they must believe that the interior of the offensive line is going to be okay, even with Kelsey leaving. We know it's a very healthy roster. And if you add a Saquon Barkley with Kellen Moore comes over as the offensive coordinator, do they look at it like that's the Christian McCaffrey that he was to San Francisco, where you get to use him in multiple ways, and then Jalen Hurts has that massive bounce back here? I think it's a fascinating case study. I really do, because, again, this is an organization that has not operated like this since Brian Westbrook, maybe.
I mean, I don't know if I totally agree with that. This is the second season in a row that they've invested in a running back. They did it with DeAndre Swift last season, right? Now he's going to be with Chicago.
Well, they let Miles Sanders walk a couple years ago. But I think there's a little something to it, where I think it's a little bit of a PR move. They've had a really bad end of the season. I think it's a little bit of a PR move for them.
Yeah, it might be. We will see how it goes. Coming up next year, we head to Wisconsin. The Packers made some moves.
More Amber and Ian coming up next.
But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code SPOTIFY to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code SPOTIFY at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code SPOTIFY.
There was a moment today where Packers fans probably felt like, man, we're going to have a 1-2 punch there in the backfield. And, well, not so much. Aaron Jones no longer a member of the Green Bay Packers. Josh Jacobs is, though. So let's head to Milwaukee. Mark Tauscher, former Packer, host of Willity and Tausch on ESPN Milwaukee, kind enough to join us here on Amber and Ian, with Zaslow filling in for Ian. And Mark, thanks for your time. So they bring in Josh Jacobs, they release Aaron Jones. How surprised were you by this move?
Well, you just mentioned it, Amber, that we all thought it was going to be the 1-2 punch. And for the whole offseason, you heard Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, say how important Aaron Jones was and that he was going to be back. And then the news breaks today that Josh Jacobs has signed. And initially I'm thinking, okay, well, that means Aaron Jones is gone. We saw a couple of the NFL insiders report that he's still going to be here. And I never envisioned Aaron Jones playing somewhere else, because he's been such a stalwart for the Green Bay Packers. And we saw the end of the season, how dominant he was in the playoff games. He had 100 yards his last 5 weeks. And so, well, the thing we learned, and it's always a good reminder, even though there's David Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones, guys that have done it for a long time, the NFL is a young man's game. And Brian Gutekunst, if you don't remember that, today was a great reminder. Jacobs is 3 or 4 years younger than Aaron Jones. They went with the young safety in McKinney, and you're always trying to get, when you're bringing free agents in, and especially, you know, how the Packers approach it, they're going to be in the prime of their career. They're not really interested in 30-year-old players unless they're their own guys. And today was another reminder of that, that it is it's a young man's game, and this roster, which I didn't think was going to get younger, got rid of two of their oldest players in David Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones.
Mark, how do we feel about Brian Gutekunst these days? Because I feel like over the last couple of years, the reputation has probably done about a 180, yeah?
Yeah, I think when you have the draft class, and last year I think most, for sure national pundits, but even everybody locally was kind of thinking, we don't know what we have at quarterback. We don't know what we have at wideout. We don't know what we have at tight end. They're all young players, and I don't think, especially since Thanksgiving, the Packers' season couldn't have went better, and Brian Gutekunst went from, what are you doing? You're trading Aaron Rodgers, to you did it again. You got the quarterback right. You got all this young skill. Now you got a new defensive coordinator, a team that nobody thought would make the playoffs, had the San Francisco 49ers on the rope. So I don't think Brian Gutekunst's Q rating could have been any higher, but there's no question today there's a lot of Packer fans, even with getting the best safety on the market, the youngest safety, and getting Josh Jacobs, there's still a lot of Packer fans thinking, all right, well, these are bold moves. We know what you're getting with Aaron Jones, and to say goodbye, we understand it, but now I think that pressure is going to be on Jacobs in the backfield to deliver, because Aaron Jones might be one of the most beloved Green Bay Packer football players we've had in about 20 years.
Mark Tauscher from ESPN Milwaukee joining us here on Amber and Ian. So you keep mentioning it, Xavier McKinney, he gets a 4-year, $68 million deal. And Mark, for a moment there, I started feeling like the safety position was becoming the running back position in the NFL, because a whole lot of them were getting released. But obviously here, McKinney gets paid. Were you surprised by this move? Do you feel like that this is a good move here for Green Bay?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, we've always, it's been the defense, and, you know, for the last 2 years, Joe Barry, the former defensive coordinator, it was blaming him and the scheme and everything else. And in all fairness, I think the safety position, while, you know, we've had guys back there, Darnell Savage signed a nice deal today. He left Green Bay. You always felt like you need to have a guy back there, somebody that is going to be a big-time playmaker. And I think there are a lot of folks that were thinking, well, Xavier McKinney, young player, he's only 24 or 25 years old. I just was surprised. We've heard over and over that the Packers would be in these conversations. But typically, outside of 1 year, Brian Gutekunst has been very leery of getting in, especially early in the free agency game. And I think this just tells you how close he thinks this team is to getting to a championship, that the process was sped up a bunch by how last year finished up, and that he saw a player that was in that mid-20s that he thinks can make a monster impact on getting this defense to take it to the next level, and he went out there and got it. So I think we're all surprised, not surprised that they were in the conversation, but that actually the Packers spent big on a free agent on the first day of free agency. That typically doesn't happen, and Goody did that today.
So, Mark, we got the news earlier today that Kirk Cousins leaves Minnesota to go to Atlanta on a 4-year deal. How's the Packer fan reacting to a division rival losing their quarterback?
I mean, obviously, I think that means that they're in full rebuild mode. And even with Kirk Cousins, I mean, they were off to, they kind of were bouncing around, and you didn't know what they were going to be last year. But now it's full on rebuild mode. You know, the Bears are what the Bears are doing. They're trying to figure things out. I think if it wasn't clear before today that it was going to be Packers and the Detroit Lions kind of battling it out, I think it's become more and more clear. That's how everybody sees it. You see Detroit making a couple moves, but with Minnesota, what they're doing now, they're going to obviously have to go and figure something out at the quarterback spot when Kirk Cousins decided to leave. So I think the Packers are even in better shape than maybe what they were heading out of it, because Kirk Cousins has been a really good quarterback for the Vikings.
Mark Tauscher joining us. So you mentioned it, though. It's a changing of the guards there from like essentially the old guy to the new guy there in Green Bay. And when you have to get younger, then sometimes the 11 seasons that Bakhtiari spent at left tackle are going to be the cost of getting younger. And that seems to be what has happened here with David Bakhtiari. It's a little unclear whether he was retiring or whether they were releasing him. It seems like they released him, that he was planning to play either way, coming off of a fifth knee surgery. How do you think the fan reaction is going to be? Because you mentioned it. These guys, the old guard, they were the face of that franchise.
Yeah, David is a beloved Packer as well. I mean, Aaron Jones and him, you know, both legendary players for this team for a long time. I think David, it was pretty well known. You heard what Goody and Matt LaFleur had said, whether it was at the Combine or at a press conference, that the injuries have caught up, and the fact that he has not been able to play a ton the last three seasons, the writing was kind of on the wall that, you know, David was going to be gone. It's still, you know, he didn't play, he only played one game last year, and that was kind of, I think, baked into the cake. But there's no doubt, you know, you went from having Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams and David Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones just two or three seasons ago, and it is completely wiped clean. The Jordan Love era was on last year, and now it is his football team. Aaron Jones was really viewed as the leader of the offense, even with Jordan Love. Well, there is no doubt moving forward, this is Jordan Love's offense. This is Jordan Love's football team. And those moves today, when you get veterans that have been leaders for a long time, when they're exited out, that new era comes in, and it is now squarely on Jordan Love's shoulders.
So what is the next step for Jordan Love? What should be the expectation this coming season for him?
Man, if he can continue to grow from where he finished, the beginning of last season, I think he was trying to figure things out, and he had that moment, I think, in the middle of the season. There was a couple of really tough games at Lambeau where the fans were getting very irritated. You know, you lost to Minnesota. And then I think even in the loss at Pittsburgh last year, that's when you started seeing him and Matt LaFleur get on the same page. He let it rip. And I would think you'd be hard-pressed. If you look at the stats and how he played the last 10 weeks of the season, and you go into the postseason, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And I think the Packers and Jordan Love are thinking, why are we going to go? We're not going anywhere but moving forward. And with the addition of Josh Jacobs, don't know what else they're going to do, if they'll bring A.J. Dillon back or draft another young running back. That play-action pass and getting Jordan Love in great positions to be successful. And now with the young receiving core getting another year older, the sky is the limit. I think this team looks at Jordan Love as a star, not just as a game manager, as a quarterback. They look at he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and he just has to continue to grow from where he finished last season.
Got to be an exciting time to be a Green Bay Packers fan. Former Packer Mark Tauscher, you can hear him on Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Milwaukee. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
It's got to feel good because it's a weird time in Green Bay where the former guys
good.
Who define, well, but like the guy, you're still really sad to see the David Bakhtiaris of the world, right?
I'll tell you, I didn't realize how beloved Aaron Jones was. I get it, Bakhtiari, but Mark telling us there about Aaron Jones, I did not know that.
Yeah, but it's the changing of the guard, and it started obviously with Aaron Rodgers, but this feels kind of like the last of it, right? Like now the Aaron Rodgers era is completely over there in Green Bay.
Yeah, but it's a lot easier.
Okay about it?
It's a lot easier to get over it when you keep going from one quarterback to the one quarterback to the one quarterback, like, and they're all really good, you know? Like Jordan Love, I don't know what he's going to wind up being, but they believe he's going to be great based on what we saw the last half of the last season.
You know what they say, Zaslow? Oh, go ahead.
No, I have a friend. I have a friend back in Pennsylvania. She's a big Packers fan, and she's been messaging me like since they released Aaron Jones. It was her favorite player, and she's super
sad
about it.
Like, really?
She's angry about it. Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Like, I don't know what we're doing. Doesn't make any sense. Josh Jacobs isn't as good as Aaron Jones. Like, yeah, I don't
he's
know.
Younger.
He is younger.
He's younger.
Yeah.
So it kind of does make sense.
But Aaron Jones did everything for them. So it's kind of, it's crazy. He's, his stats, since he came into the league with the Packers have been like, he catches the ball in the backfield. He scores touchdowns. He runs the ball. He was awesome for them
30.
Down the stretch. He was awesome for them down the stretch last year. Had over 200 yards rushing in the playoffs in those two games. I mean, it's kind of a surprise.
But when you're almost 30 years old at that position, you're ancient. I mean, we talk about Saquon, like he's over the hill. The man's only 27.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones is 29. So, you know.
That dude's old.
It's just what happened. It, I mean, not compared to me and you, but compared to, you know, running backs in the NFL.
I feel young. And age is just a number for me.
Age ain't nothing but a number. The truest words ever spoken. Josh Jacobs is only 26 years old, though. So significantly younger, and they're going to have more runway. And I just think also it makes sense when your entire team is going younger, when you now have the young quarterback, and when you're trying to usher in a new era. I think, frankly, the Packers look at this thing like, okay, it's time to flip that page. And I give them credit because obviously they've done a brilliant job of doing that in the past. They seem to know when to move on from an era, no matter how great that era was. And boy, was it great. And so here we go on to the next, and we'll see if it ends up working out. But right now, it looks like the future is very bright for them. It looks like the future is bright for others around the league as well. Baker Mayfield got paid. Mac Jones has a new address in the state of Florida. There's a lot of free agency stuff. T. Higgins, he wants out. There's a lot of free agency stuff we haven't even gotten to yet. So we're going to do that next here on ESPN Radio.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Thunderpants!
What are you laughing at?
Laffy Taffy. They have a funny joke on every wrapper, and I love how fruity they are. Banana's my favorite. Want one?
Sure. Mmm, so smooth and creamy.
I like to eat them after school and after dinner and after...
Whenever you need a good LOL?
Yeah! So, here's the joke. What do clouds wear under their shorts?
Thunderpants. That is good. Laffy Taffy. Deliciously funny. Head to LaffyTaffy.com to shop now.
Jaguars acquiring quarterback Mac Jones from the Patriots for a sixth-round pick.
They want to start fresh, and I think they feel like Mac would benefit himself from a fresh start.
New England did a masterful job at wrecking this kid's confidence. If you believe, if New England believes Drake May is a franchise quarterback potentially in the not-too-distant future, you have to take him.
Coming in with a clean slate, no preconceived expectations, and then we'll build it from the ground up.
The Patriots unloaded Mac Jones, the former first rounder. They got a late pick in return. The Jags now have a backup quarterback on the cheap, Jonathan Zaslow. And who knows, I guess, what Mac Jones will turn out to be. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Zaslow in for Ian tonight. This was a surprising move, though, I think for a lot of people. Not necessarily that the Patriots moved on from Mac Jones, but I'm not sure people saw Mac Jones going to Jacksonville in this scenario. Although it's not a terrible, I mean, it kind of makes sense now that I think about it.
I'm surprised New England got anything for him. All right. They got a sixth round pick for him. On the other side, Look, Jacksonville, it's weird because Jacksonville just made a trade for a guy in Mac Jones who, in a perfect world, the Jaguars hope Mac Jones, who they just traded for, never, ever takes a single snap for them. That would be a good thing for them. The guy that they just gave up a sixth-round pick for, if he never, ever, ever takes a single snap for them, they would really like that. And that's a weird trade to make.
That's a weird trade to make, although you're not giving up much. I guess, you know, you're feeling like, okay, we have a viable backup. I think that this has everything to do with the fact that Mac Jones is from Jacksonville, right? I mean,
they're doing the Tebow thing
reason.
when they want a Tebow?
Well, no.
Because he's from close to there?
Calm down. I don't think Mac Jones sells tickets quite like old Timmy does, but I do think that Mac Jones, he's a native to Jacksonville. Maybe they're thinking he'll come down here. He'll be comfortable. He needs to get the heck out of New England anyways. And what's the worst that happens? The best that happens is you have a viable backup. And or you end up with such a competent backup, if there is an opportunity to showcase it at all, that then you also have an asset on your roster, right? And what's the worst that happens? Mac Jones just kind of fades into oblivion. Like, that's the worst that happens. None of it really affects the Jags terribly.
Well, that's what I think it is. Is they think it could be an asset. In a perfect world, he never, ever takes a single snap for them, and we get to training camp, and somebody goes down, and they need a guy who has been a starting quarterback. And whether I think Mac Jones is the worst starting quarterback in the NFL or not, what is a fact is he's been a starting quarterback for the last three seasons. So if somebody goes down, they would want to trade him to that team so quick.
Right, because he has an experience as starting quarterback and also a starting quarterback that was a Pro Bowler in his rookie year. Fine, he was a what do you call it, alternate.
I mean, how hard should I laugh? Should I laugh really hard right now or like wait?
The man was in a Pro Bowl. The man's wiki, I imagine, says Pro Bowl on it, right? Because he was technically in a Pro Bowl. So that man is a Pro Bowler at one point and also a top 15 draft pick. So there's that as well. So you are talking about a young dude that clearly had potential coming out of college, was a really high draft pick. And then that rookie season looked really good. And so can you just look at the Patriots and think, man, they just really bumbled this whole thing. And they did this to, they ruined Mac Jones. When it was Josh McDaniels, it was fine. And then they ruined Mac Jones after that by putting DCs as his OC and then switching coordinators on him again. And they obliterated his confidence. And so if you're Jacksonville and you feel like he's been underutilized in that way, then you're absolutely right. You find yourself with an asset potentially, or again, just a viable backup, because he could be that as well. Mike Reese, ESPN's Patriots reporter, was on Sunday morning. He explained why the Patriots traded away Mac.
Situation. So I think what you're saying, I believe, is true, but I don't think they woke up today, guys, and said, we feel strongly about Drake May, let's go trade Mac Jones, or we feel strongly about Jaden Daniels, let's go trade Mac Jones. I do believe this was going to happen regardless of how they felt about both those quarterbacks.
I think this is another
seems
step.
Like he wasn't going to, Mac Jones wasn't going to be the answer no matter what happens in April.
Yeah. No, I think this is another step for the Patriots. I really believe their MO right now, not as if they want to erase the Bill Belichick era, because the Bill Belichick era was so fruitful for them, obviously. But
Why would you want to erase six Super Bowls?
But I do think that this is another step in them really distancing themselves from what they've been over the last few years. And that meant any big name, and whether you like it or not, Mac Jones has been a big name on the Patriots for the last few years. Any big name they're trying to move on from and separate from really the stink of the last couple of years.
Now, I would say I'm one of those people that I don't know if I would go ahead and put the stamp on Trevor Lawrence has absolutely worked out and lived up to expectations in the
NFL.
No,
he hasn't.
Either. So I don't think he has. Now, some of that's with the hype that he came into the league, right? He certainly hasn't been awful regime. He was
We talk about generational quarterback with Caleb Williams. People were saying the same thing about Trevor Lawrence.
Same thing. That's why I caution people about this Caleb Williams stuff. I'm like, I remember the last time we did this, and it doesn't seem like we were that right.
Like, Trevor Lawrence is good. I don't know how good he is. And I definitely don't think he's a generational quarterback.
Nope. Doesn't seem like it anyways. So it'll be interesting to see how things work out there with Mac Jones now sitting behind him. So that's what's happened in one part of NFL free agency here, at least on the trade level. We're also keeping you updated on what's happening in college basketball. James Madison just beat Arkansas 91-71 in the Sun Belt Championship.
And
James Madison is now
the
Sun Belt champion. And most importantly, like Zaslow said, they are in. So they will be participating in March Madness. All right, back to the NFL real quick here, because we haven't gotten to talk about Baker. A three-year deal worth $100 million. He stays in Tampa. That is a full resurrection of Baker Mayfield's career.
I'm happy for Baker Mayfield. I think it's really cool. It's pretty wild to think. If you go back a year ago, he was coming off of playing for three teams in two seasons, Cleveland and then Carolina and the LA Rams in the same season. And then he winds up landing with the Bucks, where he's going to battle Kyle Trask to replace Tom Brady. And you fast forward.
Hold on. Be careful. Be careful.
What?
With whatever you're trying to say about Kyle.
I like Kyle Trask, but it is what it is, all right?
He was battling
Kyle Trask. I mean, but look, Baker was the number one overall pick in the draft. He was the number one overall pick in the draft. And then he's battling Kyle Trask. I didn't say anything that wasn't true. Battling Kyle Trask to replace Tom Brady. And you fast forward a year, $100 million. Next to his name. It's a pretty cool story. Good for him.
It's a very cool story. It's funny because we were just talking about with Russell Wilson, when the quarterback's on three teams in a couple years, the story doesn't normally end well. Well, it actually has for Baker Mayfield. I mean, so far, we'll see what he's able to get done here in Tampa. But either way, that is a resurgence of a career that a lot of people thought was dead in the water. Back to college basketball for a second. Championship night here. Who's getting in? Who's not? Samford is up on ETSU 60-52 early in the second in the SoCon champ. We'll keep you updated on that. Plus, Kirk Cousin is a Falcon. Back to that here.